had 10 kids saved and had 16 saved total throughout the week. And he, I think the second night he preached on music, and they went home and were breaking their CDs and erasing their phones. And at the campfire, one of the mothers stood up and said, "Man, I knew this was going to be a good thing, but I didn't think I'd actually see revival." And that's what we've seen, revival break out in our youth. So I'm itching to get back to, now I've got the real work begins on following up with all the teens and everything. So I'm looking forward to it. But Exodus chapter number 30, verse number 34, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices, state and anoika and galabam, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary." Now, apothecary is somebody who makes ointments and stuff. It says, "tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small and put it before the testimony of the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereunto, shall even be cut off from his people." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, you truly are a good God. You daily load us up with benefits, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for the work that you did on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I thank you for having anything to do with us after that, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for this church and what it represents and what it means to me and my family, Lord, and I pray your blessings upon this place, Lord, and I ask you tonight to do what I cannot do, and that is to speak to the hearts of each and every person that's gathered here this evening. Lord, you told us in the book of Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Lord, that's what we're asking for tonight, Lord, is your spirit. Lord, meet with us. We ask this for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they would travel around the wilderness, and wherever they stopped, they were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when they stopped, they set up camp and they set up the tabernacle. And the outside of the tabernacle, it was covered in badger skins. And underneath of that, there were several white sheets. And underneath those white sheets, there was a purple sheet and a blue sheet and a scarlet sheet. And then if you go a little deeper, you'd go into the holy place. The holy place, as you walk into there, you'd see the table of showbread, which represents the word of God. And then on your left, you'd see the golden candlestick, which represented the Holy Spirit of God. In the back, you'd see the altar of incense, which represented our prayers that go up continually as a sweet savor unto the Lord. Behind that, there was a veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And I was reading the book of Exodus, and it said that there was cherubim that were embroidered upon this veil. And I thought to myself, man, how did they know what cherubim looked like? How did they know? I mean, God was very meticulous in giving them every detail to everything that was going on. And he said, an embroidered cherubim. I thought, well, did they ever see a cherubim before? And I got to thinking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, in the book of Genesis, when God drove man out of the Garden of Eden, he put two cherubim there with a flaming sword turning each every direction. And I thought, man, they put those cherubim on there, and every time they seen it, they must have had the same message that God had for them cherubim back in the Garden of Eden, and that was to stay out, stay out, stay out. And when they looked at those cherubim, they seen the message, stay out, stay out. Man's not allowed here. Of course, you know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that veil was ripped from top to bottom. Amen. And now we can boldly go into the throne of grace and obtain mercy at our time of need. We can go into the most holy place. Amen. That most holy place, that's where God is. That's where the Shekinah glory is. That's where Jesus is. That's where the mercy seat is. I don't know if you've ever been in the presence of God. If you haven't, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I guess the best way I could describe it to you is just being smothered in God's love. You know, we can just boldly walk in there today. But now, the only thing that's separating us from that holy place and that most holy place is that altar of incense. And I kind of want to home in on that with the next few minutes, give you three real quick points about this altar of incense. They were to make this incense. They made this confection. The apothecary would make this ointment to go in there, and it was a sweet savor. And as I was reading this, in verse number 34, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices, state and anoika and galabam." And so I looked up all these spices, and I found out that none of these spices are indigenous to Israel. They all have to be imported from another country. And as I got to thinking about that, I thought, you know what? That's just true in my life. The fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that I can muster up, but it's something that has to be imported from another country. It's something that has to come from a heavenly place. You know, I can be good on my own. I can be sweet. I can be gentle. I can be kind. I can do that in my own strength. But it won't take long when the heat's turned up, when I go through the trial, when somebody does me wrong, that something's coming out and it's not sweet. But when I'm abiding in Christ and God's love is in my heart, something real comes out. Something sweet comes out. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse number 11, God tells the people of Israel, he tells them when they put their sacrifices on, he says, do not put any honey on the altar. And I thought, well, why wouldn't you put honey on the altar? That's sweet. But you know, honey, when it goes under the fire, the chemical makeup of honey breaks down and it stinks. And that's the same as for me. When I do things out of my own strength, when I try to be kind, when I try to be gentle, when I try to be loving in Kevin's strength, I can do it for so long. I can put on the facade, but it won't be long before it breaks down. But if you have something real, if the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, when the fire's turned up, hey, when somebody does you wrong, sweet comes out. You ever been around somebody that's sweet? One thing about the spice is it's sweet. God wants us to be sweet. You ever been around somebody that's just sweet? Man, you want to be around them, don't you? You ever been around somebody who's not so sweet? Somebody who complains all the time? Somebody who's grumpy? You go out to eat with them and they can't find anything good to talk about. It's just, oh, this is overdone, all that, and this service is bad, and it's, you just don't want to go out to eat with them anymore. I like to be around somebody who's sweet, somebody who's kind, somebody who's thankful, somebody who's gracious, somebody who's kind. God wants us to be sweet. Number two, God wants us to be sweet. God also wants us to be salted. It says here in verse number 36 or 35, it says, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together. That word temper means salted. God wants us to be salted. You don't have to go very far in the Bible to find out what salt is. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. You know, when the Bible talks about our conversation, it's not just talking about the words that come out of our mouth. Of course, that's most of it. But it's your whole life. It's your communication with this world. I tell my preacher boys, when you get behind the pulpit, and you preach, that's just the icing on the cake. Your whole life is a sermon.
That's right.
People are watching you.
Amen.
And when the moment that you identify yourself as a Christian, all eyes are on you. People want to see if it's real. People want to see if your God's real in the hard times. People want to see if your God's real through the suffering. They're watching you. Through the criticism. They're watching you. Are you sweet? Are you salted? Seasoned with grace. Grace. You know, we should be gracious to people.
Amen.
We should be gracious to people. That's undeserving favor. That's how we should be towards other people. Gracious. Kind. Wasn't the Lord gracious to you?
Amen.
Wasn't he kind to you? Hey, that's how come I came to him, because I saw his love for me. I love him because he first loved me. Gracious. We should be kind to people. You know, we're living in the last days. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. I mean, you don't have to look around to find out that we're living in dark, dark times. I mean, with the decision our country just made, people are now drawing lines. Christian people are drawing lines. It seems everywhere I go, the topic's coming up. What side are you on? And I got to thinking about that. And you know what my attitude should be to everybody? I should be gracious. I should be gracious. Why? Because I hold the truth. I hold the medicine. You know, I could be mad. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I can get upset about everything. I can let it bend me out of shape. I can get into the flesh. But I have the medicine that people need. And I must be gracious and kind when I present it to them. I remember when I was in the ranch, and man, I was a knucklehead. I was all messed up. And I was in that place, and I seen something for the first time in my life. I seen something that was real with people. Brother Eby, he was the guy that was over the ranch, and he had the largest construction company in the state of Ohio. And the Lord spoke to his heart, and he gave that company away to come work with Brother Jack Patterson. He came and he worked, and I watched him as he loved us. It was real. All of us guys, we lived downstairs. Brother Eby and his wife and his two kids lived upstairs. And sometimes guys would come in, they didn't know why we were there. And I'd watch Miss Eby as she'd go in her kids' room at night and sleep on the floor because she didn't know who would just come in their home. And I thought, man, these guys have sacrificed everything for me. And they're gracious and they're kind. I remember one time, man, a bunch of us guys got together, and the staff had gone to a wedding, and we stole a car, one of the workers, and we went down and we got cigarettes and we came back and we all sat around the trampoline and we're smoking it. And then that next Sunday we had an evangelist come in, and we were all of us guys had to sit on the front row. And the evangelist, man, he was preaching away, and he came down to the front row, and he was walking up and down, and he stopped right in the middle of his message, and he said, "Pastor Charlie, I don't know what it is, but the Holy Ghost just won't let this go, but somebody in this church has a problem with smoking." And his hand's going like this over us, and we're all like, "What?" Well, that night, Pastor Charlie was preaching, and he came down to the front. We were all sitting down there, and he was walking back and forth, and he said, "Brother Mark McGahee, I know what you're talking about. Somebody in here has a problem with smoking," and he's doing his hand like this over us. Now we're thinking, was there cameras set up? Is somebody watching us? And we were white as a ghost. We went home and we were under so much conviction. I remember we were talking to each other and we said, "Hey, we got to tell on us because we're going to get found out if we don't." And so we went and we told on ourselves. And Brother Jack, he was in another state preaching, and he left the meeting he was in to drive down to Alabama. And I thought, oh man, this is it. I'm getting kicked out of here. They're gonna string us up. They're gonna kill us. And he came, and obviously we had to be punished for what we did, but I remember he was sitting out front in the rocking chair, and we all had to go out one by one and tell him what had happened. And I remember I went out there and I told him what had happened, and he started crying. And he said, "Kevin, I'm gonna do you like Jesus did the woman that was caught in adultery. Go and sin no more." I thought, what? I thought you were going to yell at me. And I thought you were going to give it to me. And he said, "Kevin, come here." And I went up to him and he gave me a hug and he said, "I want to see God do something in your life." And I thought, man, I want that. I want whatever you have. You know, God wants us to be gracious. God wants us to be kind. God wants us to be tender-hearted. God wants us, hey, listen, this world out there, man, they're angry. They're mad. They're upset. They hate us. But we're supposed to show them love. Not only does God want us to be sweet, not only does he want us to be salted, but look what else he wants us to do. It says in verse number 35, it says, "And thou shalt make a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy." Holy. "And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy." God wants us to be sweet. God wants us to be salted, and God wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be holy. This book right here, this is, we call it the Holy Bible. Israel, we call it the Holy Land. Jerusalem, we call it the holy city. Why is this book the holy book? Why is that land the holy land? Why is that city the holy city? It's because it's God's property. This is God's word. This is the inspired, inerrant. There is no error in this book. This is the very words of God that I'm holding in my hand. This is God's book. And those are God's people. That's God's land. That's his land. That's his piece of property. And that's his city. You know, God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." What? No, you're not. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Listen, when I die to self and I submit myself to the Word of God, when I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, then and then only am I holy. When I live for myself, when I get in the flesh, when I do what Kevin wants to do, I'm not holy. But when I walk in the Spirit, I'm holy. God wants you to be holy. Are you holy? Are you holy? Do you watch holy TV shows? Do you listen to holy music? Do you have holy conversations? Are your friends holy? Are you holy? Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, there, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That's just our reasonable service. To be God's property. To do what God wants us to do. That's the order. Be sweet. Be salted. Be sanctified. But you know what we do? We get the whole thing backwards. And we like to make sure that everybody else is holy. That everybody else is sanctified. But we want everybody to be gracious to us. But that's not the way it should be. We should be gracious to everybody else, and we should be hard on ourselves. We should be disciplined. We should be holy. I mean, I must walk around Kevin circumspectly and make sure that everything is in check. That's my job. That's my duty. That's my reasonable service. I'm supposed to be hard on myself. I'm supposed to be disciplined. But when it comes to other people, I must be gracious. Why? Because I have the truth. I have the medicine. Listen, the Word of God, this is the only thing that changed my life. And this is the only thing that'll change somebody else's life. And I must be gracious when I present it. I must be kind. I must be sweet. People should see Christ in me. Listen, if you're not holy, if you're not disciplined, people don't want that. People don't want, when they see you and they see that you live a life that's not holy, they don't want that. You got to be kind, gracious, and holy. You must walk with the Lord. Because it's all about Him and His Word. His Word has the only power to change lives. And we must present it the right way. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us and so kind to us. Lord, you're so patient. You're long-suffering. And Lord, you want us to be like you so the people would know who you are. Oh, Lord, may we not misrepresent you in this world. In these last days, Lord, it's only going to get worse and worse and darker, and more freedoms are going to be stripped from us and more people are going to hate us. But Lord, may we go down as soldiers. May we go down as Christians. May we go down with a loving heart, speaking your truth. May we not water down your truth. May we still be passionate about it. May we not compromise it.